Good morning. Open your Bibles this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. How many people did you greet as you walked in today? Just asking. Is that a strange question? How many people did you greet when you came in today? How did you greet them? One of the ways we do that is we often say, how are you? Right? We say, hi. But let me ask you this. If you say, how are you really concerned with how somebody is? Do we take the time to ask them how they are? I'm going to talk today about living with your eyes up and your heart open. We need to take time. If we really are concerned with how people are, if we're really concerned enough to ask that question, then we need to take time to spend with them. You know, here's the thing I've learned, and I don't always get this right, but if you have your eyes up, you can see someone's eyes, can't you? And a lot of times, looking at someone's eyes, you can tell, you can see the joy, and you can also see the pain. You can see the happiness, but you can also see the suffering. And so when that happens, maybe we say, how can I pray for you? When's the last time that you said to someone, what is God doing in your life? How can I pray for you? And then when you ask the question, how can I pray with you, be willing to go and pray. It's not something that we want to put off for couple days or a couple weeks, but when somebody expresses their heart to us, then we need to stop and pray. So the next time you come in a building, it's okay to say hi. It is. But if you ask somebody, how are you? Be willing to spend some time. I think it'll make a difference in our lives, in your life and in mine. We need each other. Last 2 weeks, Wally preached on friendship. And I told him today that I'm just going to build loosely on that friendship aspect. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to be reading and start reading in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks to on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Let's pray. Our Father, how grateful we are for the encouragement of your word. We thank you that encouragement begins with you, through your Spirit flows through your word, and flows into those who know you so that we can be channels of comfort and encouragement and strength to others. just as you have done that for us. Lord, I thank you that we can come into this place today and focus on you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the words of my mouth today, and that everything we do in this place would be for your honor and for your glory. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I prayed for God to allow me to look into someone's heart. And he did that. I don't know that I always enjoyed that, because I could see the pain some people were suffering. But our responsibility is to comfort others with the same comfort that we have received from God. How many of you have a best friend? How many of you have someone that you can talk to and be absolutely honest with and allow them to be honest with you? How many, don't we need to have someone that we can share with, that we can be absolutely honest with, that will be honest with us and will tell us, hey, you're messing it up this time. We need someone like that. We need someone who will speak into our lives. We need someone who will come alongside and walk with us. And I will tell you, the person we need the most in that area is God. We need him. There is nothing you and I can do in and of ourselves in our own strength that will get us through any situation. Anybody believe in fate? Coincidence? Chance? None of those things. If we believe in fate, then there's nothing weakless that is, because there are a whole lot. If we believe that we can overcome things in our own strength, then we find out how worthless that is, because there are a whole lot of things that I can't do in and of myself. And so when we're going through these times, we need to realize that we can rely on God. How many times has God done something specific in your life when you knew it was only God, and that only God could get you through a situation? I was thinking about this and praying about this week, and I heard the prayer request today. And I know there were some prayer requests that weren't shared. And these things burden our hearts. And sometimes they begin to drag us down and cause us to lose focus. But this passage of Scripture begins with God. And when we're facing those situations, we need to also begin with God. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What was Paul doing? He was praising God. It's been true in my life that when I begin praising God, when I lift my eyes up to him, then everything else seems to pale in comparison. When I lift my eyes to him, I see that my problems aren't so great, and that my God is in control of everything. He is God. Do y'all believe that he is in control of everything? That nothing happens to you or can't happen to you without his knowledge? You know, and the truth is that God permits trials in our life. He allows them so that we can learn to trust him more, so that we can become more conformed to the image of his Son, so that we can develop the character of God on a deeper, deeper plane. He is God. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. The word Father there can be interpreted as the originator. He is the originator of mercy. He is the originator of comfort. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. Satan is the originator of lies. And so, can we trust God when we're in trouble? Because he is the originator of comfort and strength. And focusing on God will often move our focus from ourselves and our problems. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible tell us to consider others as more important than ourselves? Wouldn't it be normal, or shouldn't it be normal, that when we're going through something individually, or when we see someone going through something individually, to come alongside them and help them and do whatever it takes? There was a story on Wednesday night of someone who was having a difficult time in their lives. They were suffering. Their marriage was in trouble. Other things were going on. And yet one person stepped up and got in touch with that person and helped them get through that situation. Those are the kind of people that we need in our lives. We see someone going through a difficult situation, and we don't just sit on our hands. Because if we care about those people, we get up and we go and we call and we talk and do whatever we can to help them get through that situation. Isn't that what the church is supposed to do? Live with your eyes up and your heart open. If you listen to the prayer request today, you know that within 6 feet of you this morning, there's someone whose heart is breaking. Someone who needs a touch from God. And if we have our eyes up, we will see much of that. We won't see it all, because the truth is, we can come to church and play the game. Can't we? We can come to the church, and I've done that in my own life. You know, there's something different about you're struggling in your own life, and when you hit that driveway, and you drive down that driveway and into the parking lot, and you come to the door, everything's okay. Wouldn't it be better if coming in this place, that when someone asks us how we are, that we would tell them the truth? Wouldn't it be quicker? Wouldn't that bring our own healing quicker when we were sharing with someone? It doesn't take long to say, you know what, let me pray for you. And you can pray in the middle of the hallway, you can find another place, but when someone shares their hearts with us, we need to pray with them. Live with your eyes up and your heart open. The God of all comfort, He's called alongside. The idea of the God of all comfort, He is the one who lifts our spirits. We can be that kind of comfort to others and go alongside them and lift them up, encourage them, impart the strength that God has given to us to them. He comforts us so that what we can do what? Comfort others. We are to be channels, not cisterns. We don't store it all up for our own use. We allow God to work through us as a vessel, as a channel, so that we can share that comfort that He's given us, that strength He's given us, that encouragement He's given us. We can share that with others, because there are people in this room today who need that from us. God does amazing things for us. Have you ever thought, in the midst of your worst crisis, to begin to praise God? My favorite chapter in the Bible is Philippians chapter 4. In verse 3, there are these two women who have been helpful to Paul in his ministry. And I'm not sure what happened. I don't know anything that happened. But they began to be at each other's throats. And Paul said, I urge them to get along. And then right after that, in the next verse, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so those kind of conflicts bring heartache, don't they? To the ones who are involved in that conflict, and to the ones who are on the periphery, who have knowledge of the conflict. But as friends, as fellow believers, as part of God's family, what we need to do is go to people and listen to them and share with them what God's done in our lives. Read a story this week. There was a testimony of a man named George Truett, who was pastor of First Baptist Dallas for almost 50 years. And there was a lady whose baby had died. And she came to him, and he went to her trying to console her, where there's only so much that we can do. But what he did was listen to her and let her express her pain. and all the things she was going through. And he sat down with her and he prayed with her. And several months later, another woman lost a child in the same way. And he went to her. But at the funeral, the woman who had lost her baby first came to her and said, "This is how God got me through this situation." And George Truett said, that first woman did more for the second woman than I could ever do, because she shared with her the comfort that God had given her. She was a channel of God's blessings. Afflictions, trials. Affliction is defined as a state of pain or grief. Those things are permitted by God to happen. That doesn't seem fair, does it? These struggles come into our lives and God allows them to happen. We go through any number of circumstances and God allows those things to happen. And so why is that? Why does God allow things like that to happen in our lives? First of all, what's his goal for every believer? To be conformed to the image of his Son. Didn't Jesus suffer? Why should we think we shouldn't? To be conformed to the image of his Son. To learn to depend on God more. We learn to depend on him and our faith is deepened. And our love grows. There's an old song that our kids used to listen to years and years ago. It was, I'm not even sure what the name of it was anymore, Diane, but there was this song that says, "We're in this thing together." We are in this thing together. We are part of a church family. We don't need to live separately. We need to live in communion with one another. And if we are living in communion with one another, we will understand some of the struggles that people are going through. And we will be concerned. When's the last time you prayed for a member of the church? When's the last time you asked a member of the church or anyone else, "What has God been doing in your life and how can I pray for you?" When we tell people we're going to pray for them, does that show our concern and our compassion? Jesus was compassionate for us, and we need to be compassionate as well. Our afflictions, our trials, cause us to trust God more. You know, those things have revealed to us who God really is. Do you believe the promises of the Bible? Have you experienced the promises of the Bible? One of the promises years and years ago that became very real to me was, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And here's what I know. God met every need I had. He didn't give me necessarily more than I needed, but he gave me everything I needed. And so when someone has gone through a financial problem or a physical problem or an emotional problem or a spiritual problem, I can share with them how God met my needs. And if God met my needs, do you suppose he'll meet yours too? Every promise is true for every believer. The question is, do we have faith enough to believe it? Seems to me that there was a song that in Billy Graham Crusades that said, "There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." Believe that today? Next time you struggle, trust him. Look to him. Look beyond your problems. And look to the one who can do anything in your life. Paul learned that God can comfort him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul learned personally how God takes us and comforts us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from others, or he hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn in the flesh tormented him. And the Bible says he prayed how many times that God would take it away? He prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And the Bible doesn't say that he ever did. But what the Bible did say, and Paul learned, and Paul told others, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then he said in verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul learned firsthand, and so he could share with others firsthand about the God of comfort, who comforted him so that Paul could comfort others. Our trials reveal to us that God really does love us, that he really does care for us. My grace is sufficient. Verse 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Burdened beyond his ability to cope. Beyond his ability to deal with situations. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes. We are burdened by situations that are beyond our ability to accomplish. Paul said that he despaired of life, not knowing how to handle the situation, not having the power to get through it on his own. Y'all believe that God is in control of every situation? I said that earlier, but do you believe that? No, there's a story in the Old Testament that I love that tells me that God's in absolute control of every situation. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I've made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." This was a real test of their faith, wasn't it? How would we respond in that situation? It'd be tough. Now, it's easy to say, this is what I would do, but would we? Only if our eyes are on Jesus. Only if our faith is real. This next part of the story is my favorite. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Excuse me. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselor, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound and walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." It is an amazing thing that king's going to get rid of these guys because they won't worship him. Did God show up? Did God provide comfort and strength as only he can? And I can see these guys in the fire. They're not just walking around. They're dancing because God is with them. And so no matter what we face, no matter what the trials are, no matter how much we feel like we've been thrown into the fiery furnace, God is with us and will walk with us and will deliver us and will bring comfort and peace and joy to our lives. We need to realize that God's in control of every situation. God, in verse 9, it says that God is, excuse me, let me read verse 9. "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." God enables us to endure any trial, any situation, any affliction. In verse 10, it says that he delivers us from our trials. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Have you seen God work in your life in the past? If you've seen God work in your life in the past, can you trust him to work in your present? Not only, it says, has he delivered us in the past, he will deliver us. So whatever situation we're facing, we can look at the God who has and realize he's the God who still does. He saves and protects us. And then verse 11 tells us that God is glorified through our trials. "You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." You ever realize that people are watching you, how you deal with crisis, how you deal with affliction, how you deal with trial? And when they see you coming through the fire with the help of God, experience the comfort and the grace and the mercy of God, they're going to be asking you, how'd you do this? And that gives you an opportunity to share with them about your Savior, about the God of all comfort. It talks about patient endurance. And what we need to realize is God must work in us before He can work through us. So what's God doing in your life lately? What's He doing in you to prepare you to be a channel of His comfort, of His grace, and His mercy to others? Trials come so that we can learn to be channels of blessing, so that we can minister to others. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, in verse 11 here, before we go, it says, you also must help us by prayer. Did he say, please help us by prayer? He said, you must help us by prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul asked others to pray for him. Have you asked others to pray for you? Are you asking people to pray for you so that you can be conformed to the image of God, so that you can be a channel of comfort and encouragement and strength to others? I found a story this week, or a couple weeks ago, that helps me understand more clearly about comfort. Listen. It occurred to Pooh and Piglet that they hadn't heard from Eeyore for several days. So they put on their hats and coats and trotted across the 100-acre wood to Eeyore's house. Inside the house was Eeyore. Hello, Eeyore, said Pooh. Hello, Pooh. Hello, Piglet, said Eeyore in a glum-sounding voice. We just thought we'd check on you, said Piglet, because we hadn't heard from you. And so we wanted to know if you were okay. Eeyore was silent for a moment. Am I okay? Well, I don't know how to be honest. Are any of us really okay? That's what I ask myself. All I can tell you, Pooh and Piglet, is that right now I feel really rather sad and alone. And not much fun to be around at all. Which is why I haven't bothered you. Because you wouldn't want me to waste your time with someone who is sad and alone and not much fun to be around at all. Would you now? Pooh looked at Piglet. And Piglet looked at Pooh. And they both sat down, one on either side of Eeyore in his stick house. Eeyore looked at them in surprise. What are you doing? We're sitting here with you, said Pooh, because we are your friends. And true friends don't care if someone is feeling sad or alone or not much fun to be around at all. True friends are there for you anyway. And so here we are. Oh, said Eeyore, oh. And the three of them sat there in silence. And while Pooh and Piglet said nothing at all, somehow, almost imperceptibly, Eeyore started to feel a very tiny little bit better. Because Pooh and Piglet were there. No more, no less. People need you to come alongside them when they are hurt, and when they are alone, and when they feel that no one else cares. So you and I need to learn to live with our eyes up and our hearts open so that we can be the vessels of comfort and love and strength to others. As God has comforted us, so we must comfort others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul.